Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I'm with you for another 2 hours here tonight, mostly NFL draft talk, and to give us some good in-depth analysis on it, a guy who's only been doing it for decades, mostly at Pro Football Weekly, where he's the editor-in-chief, him on Westwood One's primetime broadcast, doing sideline work for them, insider on the NFL for our sister station, The Score, out in Chicago. Hub Arcus joins us here on CBS Sports Radio. How was your last couple of days, Mr. Arcus?
Well, they were long, Jody, I'll tell you that. it's kind of like a special annual holiday for those of us who do what I do for a living. I know I've always look forward to it tremendously. Of course, we've got quite a history at Pro Football Weekly as really being innovators and independent draft analysts and following this as closely as we do. So I thoroughly enjoyed it. And I think what may be most important, because I'm sure millions of fans will agree with me, it's probably the first thing that I've thoroughly enjoyed in the last 4, 5, 6 weeks. And so, a lot of speculation, a lot of debate, a lot of controversy. Should the NFL have gone ahead? Should they have done it the way they did? There's plenty of time to critique and review, but I do now believe that the decision to go ahead on schedule and hold it the last 3 days was a really, really good one, because I think it supplied a lot of positive entertainment and a great relief for a lot of folks.
I was originally going to disagree with your point, and the more I thought about it over your 15-second answer, I said, well, no, he's right. NFL free agency has been the only other thing that has been ongoing. The NFL is the only one who's giving us little kernels and nuggets of sports, and we thank them for that. I'm with you that they went on with free agency, that had the draft when they had it scheduled for. Yes, thank you, Roger Goodell, and all 32 team owners. But the reason that you're right in what you say is it was scheduled. Free agency, you don't know when the announcements are coming down. The first couple of days, there's always a quick reaction, and you know it's coming, and you get most of it. But then after that, it's all drips and drabs. You know you're getting 250-plus players' names who are going to be called out. So I am in 100% agreement with you. It kind of a very heavy appetite that sports fans were lugging around with them was quenched this weekend with the 3 days of the NFL draft. All right, want to start right at the top. Burrow goes number one. I had a caller in my first hour that said, Jody, I'd never heard before where the number one pick had the team's draft, had their playbook upwards of 3 weeks in advance. And I said, well, no, when they finished last, they were officially on the clock. They could have decided who they were taking then. They didn't make it official till Thursday night, but there's no rule against a team being in constant contact with a guy if they've already decided he's going to be their pick, correct?
Yeah, I mean, there's been multiple years where the contract has been done. You know, if the team is committed, that's up to them. There's no rule against it. And a lot of teams sitting with that pick, want to really kind of survey the landscape, maybe see if they can get some trade offers, see if they can do better. Maybe there's multiple possible choices there, and they need to take their time and really work it out. Now, I will say in this particular draft, I only had Joe Burrow as the ninth best prospect overall, certainly a top quarterback, but just a lot, players with higher ceilings. I believe the Chase Youngs, the Isaiah Simmons, the Jeffrey Okudas of the world, to me are safer But you know the premium on quarterback. I don't know that the Bengals had any choice but to take Joe Burrow. They obviously agreed once they'd made that decision. If the decision was made 3 weeks ago, I have no issue with it. And I have no issue, you know, I know this sounds kind of confusing maybe, but here I'm saying I only got him as the ninth best prospect, but he's a quarterback. So that's why I have no problem with the pick, and I have no problem with them making their decision well in advance.
Since you acknowledge, and I agree wholeheartedly with you, that quarterbacks make the football world go around, let's stay there. Tua Tagovailoa goes fifth to the Dolphins. Did the Lions and the Giants, if Chase Young was a lock for the Redskins at the second pick, and I think we all agree with that, did the Lions and Giants miss out on an opportunity to drop down a couple of slots with both Detroit and Miami at 5-6 looking to go quarterback? Do you know how many conversations were had? Was it ever close? Was the asking price too high? What do your sources tell you?
No, there wasn't a lot of conversation, Jody, after talking to sources leading up to it and even after. As a matter of fact, there was probably more interest in Washington's pick because there were a number of teams that wanted Chase Young. I know of a few teams that probably preferred Isaiah Simmons over Jeffrey Okuda, and they might have made some calls to Detroit. But the reason there wasn't a lot of conversation is because this was a rare draft, and there wasn't a lot of quarterback desperate teams. The only teams that pretty much had to come out of this draft with their quarterbacks of the future were Cincinnati and Miami and the Chargers. That's why they did what they did. You know, I mean, Pittsburgh certainly wants to get the heir apparent to Ben Roethlisberger, but they didn't even have a first-round pick in this draft. You look at Indianapolis, and they don't know what's happening in a year or two after Phillip Rivers. Same thing with Tampa after Tom Brady. But they know they've got those guys now, and they want to win now, so they needed to keep those picks and put people around them. So it was not a seller's market. You know, it was absolutely a buyer's market, and that's why the Giants and the Lions ended up where they did.
If, as you stated, teams have quarterbacks, they're in win-now mode, they're not going to worry about their franchise quarterback, even if they are a little elder, like Roethlisberger in Pittsburgh. Well, Green Bay turns its nose up at that. They move up a couple slots to get Jordan Love with Aaron Rodgers still pretty damn close to the top of his game and still one of the best, if not the best, quarterback in the league. Were you surprised by what Green Bay did? What do you think it does implicate the Packers, not only short-term futures, but long-term future?
Yeah, Jody, I was absolutely stunned. And now this requires a little bit of explanation. As you mentioned, I am based in Chicago. And as a matter of fact, I was a color commentator on the Bears radio network doing their games for 20 years before I went to Westwood One to do the national game. So I'm almost required to say bad things about the Packers and good things about the Bears, you know. And unfortunately, I got over that a long time ago. I have tremendous respect for the Green Bay Packer organization. It's been one of the best organizations in football over the last three decades, really. You can't argue with the record. But in this particular case, now, Jordan Love, I had him as the 25th best prospect, again, because he's a quarterback. I did have him, four behind Herbert and Tagovailoa and, of course, Burrow. But he was 25th on our board. They came up to 26 and got him. So under normal circumstances, you'd say fine. But here's the problem. This is a team that was one game away from the Super Bowl last year with tremendous weaknesses at wide receiver, tight end, the interior of the offensive line, and one of the worst run defenses in the league. Aaron Rodgers is going to be at his peak in his prime for at least another 2, maybe 3 years. You needed to get him some help. Then you know that you've got in Aaron Rodgers, arguably the biggest diva, or certainly one of the biggest divas in the league, that he is not necessarily a great guy in the locker room, and particularly in the position room. And so this is what you do. And then they compounded it on night two by coming back and getting A.J. Dillon, who I love, by the way. I think he's going to be an outstanding NFL running back. But he's strictly an inside runner, and running back is probably the deepest position on the Packers' depth charts because they got Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams. So I am not saying that Jordan Love and A.J. Dillon won't be great NFL players. They may be, but they won't be for this incarnation of the Packers that is one game short of the Super Bowl. So never saw it coming. Can't find anything positive to say about it. you know, quite possibly, nobody knew what they were doing when they traded for Brett Favre, and nobody knew what they were doing when they drafted Rodgers with Favre still at his peak. So Gutekunst has certainly prior history to suggest that he did the right thing. But again, a lot of it is the personalities and the character and not having to deal with Aaron Rodgers. I just think it was a tremendous mistake.
The other quarterback decision that was made in the first two rounds that has gotten a lot of attention, more in my neck of the woods. Chicago, Green Bay is yours. Philly is mine. The Eagles in the second round take Jalen Hurts. Got the receiver that they wanted, or at least they believe Jalen Reagor is going to be good enough to step in and be a big-time contributor for him in year one. Some people thought they could go wide out in the first two rounds, like Green Bay could have. They chose not to. The Eagles at least got one wide out. But then draft a quarterback in the second round, fifth quarterback taken off the board relatively early when the Eagles have needs of their own. Yes, backup quarterback is an important position in the National Football League, but with what Wentz has gone through in his still relatively short NFL career, the debate in Philadelphia whether they should have stayed with Nick Foles, kept Nick Foles, overpaid Nick Foles, his injury history. Are the Eagles opening up a potential can of worms and Pandora's box with this decision, much like you just stated the Packers may have?
Well, I don't think so, Jody. I love this pick. And the reason I don't think so is that they're not pretending he's going to compete with Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz is the franchise. He's the guy of the future. He has had trouble at times staying on the football field. But what you get in Jalen Hurts is a guy who, as great as he was at both Alabama and Oklahoma, a player who, if he's going to be a quarterback in the NFL, you know it's going to take 2-3 years to make him an NFL passer anyway. But right now, he is an athlete. He's an outstanding weapon. He is Taysom Hill on steroids, as far as I'm concerned, and probably will be a better quarterback in the NFL someday than Taysom Hill will ever be. And I don't know if you've seen it, but there's reports out there that the Saints are getting ready to give Hill $21 million to lock him up for a few more years. I love Jalen Hurts. Is exactly where I had him. Now, there's also circumstances. This is when people, fans just want what they want, but you got to understand how the draft works. The Eagles, I think maybe greatest need coming in was after wide receiver was probably at cornerback. You had incredible cornerbacks sitting on the board. Jalon Johnson, who went to the Bears at 50. I had the 24th best player in the draft. Trayvon Diggs from Alabama. I had the 27th best player in the draft. They come off the board at 50 and 51. So now the Eagles are sitting there at 53, and I guarantee you, I can't guarantee you, but I'd bet anything that if Johnson or Diggs had still been there, they'd have taken one of them instead of Hurts. And that's probably what Howie Roseman was hoping for. But once they went bang-bang to the Bears and the Cowboys, I think Hurts was the best player available. I have no problem with this pick whatsoever.
All right. Well, then the only thing you can have a problem with is if you believe the Eagles know exactly how they want to go forward and they're eschewing any strife that may come from the fans, the media, or some guys in their own locker room, because it was there when Nick Foles was doing what he was doing. If you believe all of that is okay and will work itself out, middle second round pick for a backup QB, are you getting near enough value there for a second round pick?
Yeah, the only thing, Jody, that I didn't love about it was Doug. I do love Doug Peterson, but his comment about, well, who knows, maybe your quarterback gets coronavirus was probably not well-timed or wise. Right. And I know he didn't mean anything by it. His point was, you just never know. I mean, Carson Wentz had them on track to compete for a Super Bowl. He goes down. Nobody knew that Nick Foles was going to do what he did to win that Super Bowl for them. But let's not forget that they had drafted Carson Wentz to be the franchise, and Nick Foles got $88 million from the Jacksonville Jaguars. It's not like they didn't want to keep him. They couldn't keep him. There's no way they could have paid both of them like starters. So you just got to forget Nick Foles. He's moved on now, And again, I think Hurts is going to be a big contributor to this offense with Wentz on the field. So to me, and we know Eagles fans can be volcanic. We know that they can be volatile. Mm-hmm. But sometimes you just got to take a breath and look at the circumstances. And, are there other things they could have done that would have made them a better football team too? Yeah, absolutely. But I think this kid is a rare football player, and I have no problem with doing it. And I think once fans see it, once they see the way that Doug Peterson, the different ways he's going to figure out how to use them, they're going to get a lot more comfortable with it. As far as the fact that it was a second-round pick, all I can tell you is he would not have been there with their third-round pick.
Fair enough. Hub Arkic from Pro Football Weekly, Westwood One, The Score in Chicago, our guest here on CBS Sports Radio. One last quarterback question. I'm an Eason guy. I was a little disappointed that he dropped all the way to the fourth round. I thought he had a chance to go late two, most likely three, falls all the way into the fourth. I think falls to a pretty good spot, Indianapolis, where he'll certainly have a year, two max, to grow behind Phillip Rivers. I think the Colts got themselves a steal of a player and are potentially good for the next decade there in Indianapolis. Are you anywhere near as big an Eason fan as I am?
Well, I think it's a great fit, and I think Chris Ballard is one of the sharper GMs in the league right now. Him and Howie Roseman put in a similar category. I love what he's done both in free agency and what he did with his draft. We saw where the Colts were prior to last year, and a lot of what happened there was just the injuries, you know. And so you can't say that they're a bad football team. I think they're closer to the team that won a playoff game in 18. So, you know, in that regard, I'm fine with it. I think that the problem with Eason is it's really all about coaching. You know, the issue is going to be, you know, can he get the mental part of the game? Because that's what physically, you're right. Physically, he's an exciting, outstanding prospect, but mentally, just not all there. You know, I mean, you got him and Jake Fromm. The difference between him and Jake Fromm is that Fromm, the mental part, he's probably the best prospect in this draft, but physically, he's just a guy. You know, and Jake Fromm, who I thought Buffalo sold in the fifth round because he's going to be the best number two quarterback in the league for a decade or so, was a really good pick. But that's what they were picking him for, you know, was to be number two. And then you look at what the Colts did. Marlon Mack is one of the most underrated running backs in the NFL. You saw them with that incredible offensive line go into Kansas City last year and win that football game, running the ball on 14 of their last 15 plays. Now they add Jonathan Taylor to Marlon Mack in that backfield, and you've got Rivers for a year or two. There's no pressure on Eason whatsoever. So, yeah, I like the pick a lot, but I'm not predicting greatness because he's still got the same warts on him. He's a guy who in his college career, he showed the big arm, the great size and stature in the pocket, the ability to make special throws. But unfortunately, he made more mistakes than most, you know, and that's what dropped him down as far as he did.
Fair enough. I'm sure you already put it up on Pro Football Weekly. I know it's overly simplistic, and it really, what we think today is so far in advance that 4 or 5 years ago down the road, we can look back and go, what the hell were we thinking? trying to designate winners and losers within hours, at most days after the draft, is a little bit of a fool's errand, but we're all asked to do it. So I'm going to ask you to do it. Was there any two or three, one or two, however many you want to give me, teams that you just said, wow, they got value, they filled positional needs, they got guys further down than they should have and just had a great draft? Was there one or two teams that you just said, really, they planned all this time and this is all they could come up with? Who'd you have as your top winners and losers?
Well, the big winner for me is Miami. Now that's somewhat predictable because, you know, they were accused of tanking. I guess they wouldn't even deny it. They go in with 13 or 14 picks, but it's not having the picks. It's what you do with them. If not for the hip injury, I would have liked Tua over Burrow. And I know he's only 6 feet tall, but that's just not the negative in the NFL these days that it used to be. So I love getting Tua at five. Austin Jackson's one of my favorite offensive tackles in this draft. You know, Noah Igbonege, whose name I probably just butchered, was a corner that I loved. You get Rob, they get Austin Jackson, then they get Robert Hunt out of Louisiana, then they come back to get Solomon Kindley out of Georgia. You know, they took Tua, and then they built the line in front of him that could be together for the next 7-8 years. Raekwon Davis, the defensive tackle out of Alabama, was an underachiever there, but he's an outstanding prospect. And so, and then Curtis Weaver, the pass rusher from Boise State, all the way down in the fifth round, I really loved what Miami did. Now, it pains me because I'm not a Jerry Jones fan, and I think that, you know, they get too much credit for some things that fall to them, and that's what happened in the first round. CeeDee Lamb never should have been there at 17. But then coming back with Trayvon Diggs, as I just said, the Bears with Jalen Johnson and Trayvon Diggs to the Cowboys at 50 and 51 probably have the two steals of the draft. These two kids are going to be Pro Bowl cornerbacks. Neville Gallimore out of Oklahoma is a player that I really like. And you know, unfortunately, Travis Frederick's career is going to be shorter than we'd like because of his off-the-field struggles. Tyler Biadasz, another Wisconsin center pops up, and so love the job that they did. I don't usually predict losers, Jody, because as you said, we just don't know, and their draft boards look different than ours, and I don't know that it's fair. This isn't always the easiest thing to do, but the Packers, who normally are always on my winner list, I just can't understand how they decided that even though the Super Bowl window was still open, I think they may have shut it themselves by not addressing their huge needs on run defense and for receivers on offense. And they did get John Runyon late, who's the left tackle from Michigan, who'll probably play guard and could be a good one. His dad was a real good one in Philly. But for the most part, I just don't understand what Brian Gutekunst was thinking.
I agree with you on the Packers on the downside. All right, last question, and this one's as tough as the winners and losers one, but because you guys do as great a good job as you do at Pro Football Weekly, 255, I think Mr. Irrelevant was 255, and then the mad scramble began, and we've had, I believe it's in advance of 255 guys who've already signed, undrafted free agent. Was there a guy that you were waiting for in round number 7 and his name never got called? You said, damn, somebody's going to be able to get their hands on a football player and not even have to expend a draft pick on him. Who is the best guy left out there that you had on your list?
Well, once you get past the top 100, 125, 150, draft boards start to look a whole lot different, and so there's going to be football players. It's a great question, Jody. I got to be honest, I hadn't focused all that much on it. I really think LeVert Hill, the cornerback from Michigan, who going into this season some people thought could have been a first or second round pick, he did not get taken. I believe he has signed with Kansas City. I'm not positive of that, but I think that he ended up there. I'd have to go back through my notes and find a few other guys, only because I just, as I said, once we get to the fifth, sixth round, I just assume everybody knows better than I do what they're doing. So
I'll give you the one guy who I was waiting for his name to get called in day number 3, and it never got called, and three other kickers did. Rodrigo Blankenship from Georgia, who I thought was the best kicker in college football this year, because we'll go years where no kickers are drafted, more often than not, as a matter of fact. And three guys actually did get picked, including a punter by the Jets. So four kickers got picked, and Blankenship didn't sign with the Colts, who, as you said, Ballard had a pretty damn good draft to begin with, and I think he got the best undrafted free agent on top of it.
I'll tell you what's interesting about that is that, again, Chris Ballard grew up in the Bears scouting department. He was a finalist for the Bears GM job when Phil Emery got it back in 12. And I know the McCaskey family probably thinks that's one of the worst mistakes they've ever made, although they're happy with Ryan Pace now. But the other interesting part about that is Blankenship's, the kickers, the specialists, they all have their own private coaches. Blankenship's private coach is Kevin Butler, and Butthead was the kicker on the Bears' 85 Super Bowl team. So he was a big story around Chicago the last couple of months. But they're apparently pretty happy with Eddie Pinheiro, who won that 11 kicker tryout circus they had last year after, as Eagles fans know, the famous double doink from Cody Parkey. So, there was a lot of talk about Blankenship around here. Figured it wouldn't happen, but I am surprised, like you, that other kickers would be going ahead of him.
And I just double-checked. LeVert Hill, Michigan, did sign with the Kansas City Chiefs. And the Chiefs needed it because they didn't have a big draft. A, they were picking last in every round, and they were down a pick or two out of the 7. So they needed a couple of unsigned, undrafted free agents, and Hill is one that signed in KC. Mr. Arkus, you always bring knowledge. We appreciate you sharing with us tonight. When we get another round of NFL activity, not sure when that's going to be, but it will come around at some time, and you know I will come a-calling. Thanks for hopping on tonight.
Thanks for having me, Jody. Be well.
My pleasure. That's Hub Arkus, editor-in-chief of Pro Football Weekly, Westwood One, Score in Chicago. He is a busy man because he is all-knowing when it comes to the National Football League.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.